Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the MM Forging Limited Q4 FY23 post-results conference call hosted by Batlivala & Karani Securities India Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Annamalai Jayaraj from Batlivala & Karani Securities India Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Welcome to MM Forging Limited 4Q FY23 post-results conference call. From MM Forging management, we have with us today Mr. Vidyashankar Krishnan, Vice Chairman and Managing Director, and Mr. Venkata Krishnan, Chief Financial Officer. I will now hand over the call to Mr. Vidyashankar Krishnan for the opening remarks, to be followed by question and answer session. Over to you, sir.
Morning, Jayaraj, and welcome everyone to this results announcement of MM Forging for FY23 and also Q4 of FY23. So basically, we have achieved an overall sales of 1,475 crores on a consolidated basis. And sales tonnage of 72,000 tons and production tonnage of 76,000 tons. The export ratio is about 35%, and the balance 65% of sales is in the domestic market. Domestic sales has grown by about 65%, and export sales has degrown by about 9% year-on-year. We are continuing to focus considerably on the domestic market, and we see a lot of traction over there. In the export market, we see some amount of slowing down, but we expect that that would be kind of compensated by some more customer wins or product increases within the same customer, product launches within the same customer. So overall, we would expect exports to hold on. So this is assuming this entire thesis is based on a benign recessionary environment globally and naturally based on overall global economic conditions. These conditions deteriorate, well, I think we could be a little bit more conservative in our results. And if these conditions hold, we would expect the next year to clock around 90+ thousand tons and 1,800-2,000 crores of sales. So these are the fairly broad opening remarks that I would like to convey, and I'm open to questions. These results have been available with you overnight, and I'm sure most of you would have gone through them with a fine comb. And I'm expecting your lead on the points that you wish clarifications on.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question may please press star and one on your touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Mumuksh Mandlesha from Anand Rathi. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much, sir, for the opportunity, sir. Sir, can you help us understand how do you see the demand for the Class 8, particularly for next year in CY24, when these new CARB emissions are being implemented and which could lead to a significant increase in the Class 8 prices? How do you see that impact on the demand, sir? Hello.
Hello, members of the management team. We are unable to hear you. Hello, members of the management team. We are unable to hear you.
Yeah. Sorry, some technical issue at our end. So, we see Class A trucks largely range bound in the next 1 year.
Got it, sir. And any outlook on domestic CV side, sir?
Domestic CV is expected broadly to grow between 5% and 12% in the year to come. On the conservative side, OEs are expecting around 5% growth, and on the optimistic side, around 12%.
Got it. So, RM cost has been high over the last few quarters. How do you see the normalization going ahead? And also the power fuel cost continue to rise. So how do you see the trend for that also?
What was your first question?
The RM cost as a percent of revenue has been high over the last few quarters. How do you see the normalization of that, sir?
Sorry, can you repeat the first, what cost?
Raw material cost. Has been,
yeah. Okay. Raw material has gone up largely because of a product mix. So it's not to do with steel prices, but it has gone up as a result of the product mix and a focus on the domestic market. What was the second question on power and fuel, is it?
Yes. Yeah.
Power and fuel also, there has been a slight increase than expected because of the increase from Tamil Nadu Electricity Board. They have hiked unit prices of power in TNEB. So that has resulted in an increase of around 1.50 rupee per unit overall. And fuel is expected to be largely static. If there is a slowdown in global economy, fuel prices will only go south. So I would expect fuel prices to be capped at around these levels.
Got it. So this hike was in the Q4 quarter or at the start of the year, sir?
From the start of the year.
Okay, got it, sir. So can you talk about any growth plans geographically or expanding in new segments going ahead, sir?
Our segments will be focused on the CV space. We are also making significant entries into the PV market also in India, and those will be products that we have not been supplying to the PV industry yet. So our foray into the PV space in India will also go up.
Got it, sir. Thanks so much for the opportunity, sir.
Thank you.
The next question is in the line of Jinesh Gandhi for Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Can you share the volume numbers for volume tonnage for fourth quarter?
Sorry?
The tonnage sales?
About 18,000, 19,000 tons for the fourth quarter.
18 to 19,000. And the sales for the full year you mentioned was 72,000, right?
Yeah, 73,000, 72,500 something.
Okay, got it. And secondly, would you be having the breakdown of revenue between CVs, PVs, off-highway and others for the full year, FY23?
Yes. CV space would be 78%.
Okay.
PVs would be about 12 to 13%.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, 80% for CV, 11% for PV, and the balance is off-highway, etc.
Okay.
We had set ourselves a target of reaching 7% on off-highway for the end of the year. I'm happy to say that we've achieved 8.5%.
Okay, that's good to know. And so secondly, we are looking at almost about over 20, almost close to 25% tonnage growth with the 72,000. We are looking at close to 90,000 for FY 2024, and with exports being stable. So, and you indicated CV industry to grow at about 5% to 12%. So would it be fair to say that a large part of incremental growth is from the PV side, where we are coming up with new products, and in that context, PV share will go up quite substantially in coming year?
It will go up, but I think its share as a percentage in its size in terms of its relative size to the CV in our sales pie is lower.
Mm-hmm.
So while it will go up, I would say that it might not dramatically change, but it is expected to be a key driver in this year.
Okay. So then, are we expecting market share gains on domestic CV side? Because otherwise the match doesn't add up from 72 to 90,000 tons that way.
Sorry, can you repeat your question?
Given that we are expecting a delta of 18,000 tons in sales in FY 2024, that has to be largely driven by domestic business, given exports would be flattish. In that context, domestic CVs need to see a substantial growth.
CV will definitely, which is why when I answered your question, I said CV would be a sure driver. PV is also going to back it up.
Yeah, so in that context, we expect to gain market share in CVs, or we are launching new products there as well?
More products in both segments.
Okay, understood. Understood. Got it, sir. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you, Dinesh.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Mahesh Bendre from LIC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Sir, what was the contribution of export last year from our sale? And what is the outlook for that?
Exports stood at 34% on overall sales. And compared to about 48% in FY22.
Okay. And sir, what is the outlook for the export business?
We would expect export to be flattish in the region of 30 to 35%.
Okay. Okay.
Of overall sales.
Okay. So whatever the numbers we reported this year,
Mm-hmm.
Remain flattish for this year as well.
When we talked about export percentage, I'm expecting it to be flattish. I would expect some kind of clawback in export growth to see some better numbers from these levels.
Okay. No, I'm just confusing. I mean, export in terms of number will remain a flattish, or is it, as a percentage of sales will remain a flattish?
When we first talked about it, was about percentage, and therefore I answered that it would be flattish.
Okay.
So in terms of overall numbers, I would expect exports to be slightly better than these levels.
Okay.
Than
sure.
This year's level.
Sure.
In absolute numbers, export, clarifying again, in absolute numbers or absolute terms, exports will be higher, should be higher than this current year, given a broad macroeconomic situation similar to this year.
So our export growth should be linked to the internationally the class 8 and other markets.
Yeah, naturally. But see, the whole thing is a very nebulous mix. If I hark back to 2008, when the US economy degrew by just, or rather grew negatively by 3% or so during the Lehman crisis period, manufacturing globally went into a tizzy. Okay, and for about 9 months, 1.5 years, everybody, their output was much lower. So how could a 5% change from 2% growth to 3% recession or negative growth, how could a 5% change in GDP result in such a huge change in manufacturing output in Western countries? To me, it continues to be an enigma. So what I would say is that these days, even though the global economy has not been on a strong wicket for the last 1 to 2 years, still manufacturing has been chugging along. So I would expect that at these levels, manufacturing is likely to see steep falls in these markets.
Sure. And sir, when we talk about 25% tonnage growth, I mean the domestic market is going to CV to grow in single digit, and the export side also there is uncertainty. So from where we are going to get incremental growth?
From launch of new products already developed, and increase in wallet share.
Okay, so those orders are in hand with us. I mean, so we should not link our sales to the overall market growth. It's basically new businesses and market share that probably will benefit to achieve this.
To a large extent, yes. But the overall cyclicity or the trend of the market will be superimposed on MM Forgings' output. No doubt about it.
Sure. Thank you.
Can't be totally delinked, but at the same time, it's not, number to number linked.
Sure. And sir, what is the capex plan for next 2 years?
500 crores.
So majority will happen this year, or it will be back-ended next year?
Majority will happen this year, but about 250 odd crores will happen this year, and the balance next year.
Sure. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
The next question is in the line of Abhishek from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. Sir, most of the other forging companies are focusing on non-auto segments like mining and railway, where the margin is also very good. So what is your plan to expand your business in this segment?
As of now, we seem to be focused largely on the automotive space. There are quite a few inquiries that we are handling in the non-auto space as well, and those are big orders. And as and when they come through, that will add to the non-auto segment exposure.
Okay. So do you have any plans?
Our exposure will be is focused on the auto space.
Okay. So do you have any plan for the winning new business in the railway side or expanding your business in railway?
Not right now.
Okay. And sir, despite the recessionary scenario like in the US and Europe, business is strong for the Indian players in the last many months. So are we gaining some market share because of the China Plus One strategy?
Definitely, yes. China Plus One is a positive. But also what is happening is that the US has come out with regulations on the value add in the domestic market. So that is also a negative. But That has not impacted us so far. But it's a long-term threat.
Okay. And sir, as you mentioned that domestic CV to grow at a 5 to 10%, while the export would be flat, and there will be some decline on the realization side. So in all these scenarios, what is your revenue growth target for FY24?
I'm sorry, can you repeat it, Abhishek?
Sir, as you mentioned that CV to grow at a 5 to 12% while domestic CV, and the export would be flat, and there will be a decline in the realization side as well. So what kind of the revenue or volume growth you are targeting in FY24? Because 90,000, that is at a 20 to 25% kind of the growth. Is it possible, sir?
As far as our planning shows, it looks to be feasible given a decent macroeconomic environment.
So incremental revenue will come from the passenger vehicles, or you own the some business, or you will add the some new products that will help to achieve your revenue growth of the 20 to 25%?
Yeah. So some of it will come from products that are being launched this year. Some of it is coming out of products developed in the previous years, or products that have been launched in the previous year but not yet gone into bulk. And some of it that comes out of better capacity allocation, utilization overall. And so overall, we would see somewhere close to these numbers.
And my last question is related with this export, which contributed around 34% of the total revenue in FY23. So how was the geography mix in terms of North America versus Europe and other geography?
Yeah, India constitutes 62% of sales, 65% of sales. Europe and US roughly at 15% each. South America at about 5-6%.
So it is. Is it including the scrappage sales volume, or it is excluding?
I will get back to you on that.
Okay, sir. Thanks, sir. That's all from my side.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Chirag Shah from White Pine. Please go ahead.
Sir, thanks for the opportunity. My first question is about new products. Can you just indicate the new products that you have introduced last year and looking to this year? What kind of are these products, or which sub-segment they are likely to serve, et cetera, et cetera?
These will be gear blanks, crankshafts.
Sir, what are the first one?
Gear blanks.
Gear blanks, okay. Gear blanks, crankshaft.
These are the main product segments. Some other long shafts here and there.
Okay.
So these are the main products that we intend launching.
And which categories or which sub-segment you will be serving them? Existing ones, or... So, if you can highlight which tonnage category of vehicles you this will be going, existing ones, or there is some addition of tonnage category in CVs?
It will be to the existing level, largely ILCV range.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And also in the pass car. Pass car may result more in sales close to middle of the year. But CVs will be in the ILCV segment.
Okay, so Pascar is linked to a launch of new model or something like that, or a change of a product cycle kind of a thing.
Portion is replacement, one portion is new launch.
Okay. Second question, and sir, is there any new customer addition that is happening which gives you confidence that the kind of growth you are indicating from domestic market is doable? Is there a new customer getting added, or a new model in commercial vehicle segment is getting added?
Yep. We are adding customers in both CV and PV segments.
And is it possible for you to indicate that, or?
Sorry, we don't, as a policy, give customer names, and that's been our consistent policy, you know that.
Fair point. And so secondly, so just to understand how the business dynamics works for you, so when you get a new order, what kind of share of business you would be having, and or that you are at optimal share of business given, and you are a primary supplier. So how does that work for you, if you can just help us understand?
Sure. See, it varies. What the customer requirement is and with what intent the customer is coming.
Okay.
With us, at us, both ways. So if, for example, customer is very aggressive and wants a total source change, it could be something as high as starting itself at about 70% and go up to 100%.
Okay.
And in some cases, customer will usually start at around 20 to 30%.
Okay.
So, and it could start at 20 to 30, move up to 70, 80. So it's a mixed bag. It depends upon the customer's launch plan.
Okay. And so the latter example, it takes what, 2 to 3 years for you to go to 70-80% or the optimal level, whatever that number
again
could be?
Again, depends upon customer pull. If the customer pull is significant, it could happen within 6 to 9 months.
Okay. Okay. And
sometimes it stretches. Customer wants to finish it in 6 to 9 months, but macroeconomic conditions do not permit him to do that. It may take a little bit more time.
Okay, so this is where the confidence is reasonably good for you for the growth for next year, that some of this scale up is likely to happen this year based on the products you launched last year. Is that the right way to understand, sir?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And sir, on the export side, why this relatively somber commentary? Ideally, the export share should be inching up, right, given the India-specific tailwinds that we have for outsourcing, be it China Plus One or et cetera, et cetera. So any thoughts on that, and when that scale up? So you are growing, but I'm saying you are growing in line with what India is likely to grow. I was hoping for a slightly higher growth.
Yeah, see, there is also this thing of you get attached to certain markets, certain products, and then you rise or fall with the growth of those markets and products. So to a certain extent, that has been the story as far as exports is concerned.
Okay. So can you indicate which markets you are referring to in terms of maybe tonnage of vehicle or other way of looking at it?
Largely Class 8 and largely US.
Okay. Fair point. And so in that sense, how is your customer addition or acquisition strategy for us in export market? Because I presume you will be working with maybe two or three customers, and of that, one would be your primary customer. Is that the right way of understanding your export business?
Can you rephrase the last? Can you repeat the last question, please?
I'm saying I'm presuming that on the export side, you must be working with maybe two or three customers, and of that, one or would be your main customer, and other two you would be developing or that kind of process. Is that the right understanding?
We work with a lot many than two or three customers.
As a primary customer, I'm talking about.
No, even as primary customer, not many than just two or three.
Okay.
So quite a few primary customers are there. And we keep deeper engaging our depth with them. We keep increasing our depth of engagement with each of them.
Okay.
And here and there, add customers.
And sir, what is your capacity utilization? Just out of curiosity, because and where this 500 crore CapEx is likely to be done, if you can explain that.
Hello? About 60-65% capacity utilization for the previous year in terms of sales. You go in terms of production, it will be about 3 percentage points higher. So you can take about 65%.
Okay. And what is the optimal utilization for us? You can go up to about 80%, or it would be lower than that?
I would say we should go close to about 85-90%.
85-90%. Okay, so this is kind of a rated capacity for you, right? It is not like optimal capacity. Okay.
Which one?
I think so. So 65% utilization is based on the rated capacity, because it will not be possible for you to work at rated capacity, no? Operating efficiency
No.
will play a role in that.
What we've been doing consistently over years is to look at when we put up capacities itself, we look at it on more on the basis of utilizable capacity than on rated. See, in forging, there's nothing as rated capacity.
Yeah.
Because
Yeah,
if you produce a 50 kilo part on the same press and you produce a 100 kilo part on the same press, what is rated? So if we rate on the basis of 100, you've taken a huge hit. If we rate on the basis of 50, well, you've super performed.
Yeah. No, fair point. But then
But the actuality lies, actual performance lies in between.
Yeah, but your profitability would swing significantly based on the
True, but you can't refuse a customer, no? You can't refuse a customer who comes with a 50 kilogram part and say, no, I will not do it for you. So you have to look at the overall scheme of things as well.
And sir, then sir, where is this 500 crore CapEx getting spent? Are you adding more press lines or something of that sort, or if you can highlight that?
Yeah, most of this is towards machining, little bit towards forgings and debottlenecking of the forging operations, and about 100 crores of this is set apart for the EV foray.
EV foray. And when you say EV foray, what do you mean, sir? If you can highlight.
Our subsidiary Abhinava Raizal,
Yeah.
where we are getting into powertrains for EVs.
Okay. Powertrains for EV, and I presume this would be passenger cars in the initial phase.
Yes, passenger car and LCVs in the initial phase.
Yes, I'm combining the both, yeah.
Yeah, three-wheeler
And
and a little bit of two-wheeler as well.
okay.
So just to give some input to this august audience,
Yeah.
the EV powertrain consists of an inverter or a controller that takes DC power from a battery, and converts it into AC voltage current for a motor.
Mm-hmm.
Then the next component, of course, is the motor itself.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, motors are permanent magnet synchronous machines that take mm-hmm. the AC current out of a controller mm-hmm. and convert it into rotary motion.
Yeah.
The third component is to convert the rotary motion of the motor into mm-hmm. A lower speed or a speed that is required by the vehicle.
Yeah.
Typically, motors run at much higher RPMs.
Yeah.
And than engines for sure. And because they are motors, they are able to run at higher RPMs, and also that helps in compactness of power. Then yeah. comes the gear ratio in terms of the axle portion itself that does the stepping down or a gearbox. It steps down the speed of the motor to the speed required by the vehicle at the shaft.
Yeah.
So these three components together constitute an EV powertrain.
Yeah.
Controller, motor, and gearbox. We are focusing on the middle one initially. And even as we speak, we are looking to enter the controller space as well as the gearbox space.
Okay. So in motor space, what are you looking to do? If you can slightly elaborate, unless you do strategic and you can't.
No, I can give a broad thing. That's not an issue. Motor space, we are looking at engaging with customers and giving them very energy efficient solutions.
Okay, so you are looking to do the MCU completely, or outside of MCU, you are looking to do some magnet work and all this stuff kind of thing?
The MCU goes to the motor control. MCU stands for motor control unit.
Yeah.
That is our second phase. That will probably start in calendar 24 and onwards. Okay. So initially, our subsidiary will focus on the motor itself.
The motor
next
itself.
Next phase will be controller and gearbox.
Okay. Okay. So I presume technology is already tied up, et cetera, right, sir?
For the motor, yes. For the controller, we are shopping.
Okay. And is it possible to indicate with whom? And is it a royalty-based arrangement?
For the motor?
Yeah.
For the motor, it's our own indigenous, totally ground-up, developed technology.
Okay.
If you might recall, we had taken over, we invested 18 crores in a subsidiary called Abhinava Rizal.
Yeah.
And that is adding, is their technology, which built by them. So it's Indian technology.
Okay. Thank you, sir. I'll come back for more questions.
Sure. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Kush Gosrani from InCred Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you, sir. I just wanted to understand how is the working capital right now, because we have seen some sharp increase in the inventory and receivables both. So if you could highlight on that.
The product offering that we have made is significant, and that has resulted in higher inventory across the board, because we also had to stock up some more steel to cater to customer requirements. That has also contributed to the inventory.
So
this is a direct function of increase in sales.
So this would be normalizing going ahead?
Sorry?
Built up inventory?
Sorry?
Will the inventory days come down since we have, once the customer receives the product?
Yeah, we are working to rationalize it. And if it goes up, it will go up marginally.
Okay.
It will not go up substantially. Or whatever happens, if it indeed goes up, it will go up in a very, very scientific and planned manner.
Sure. And how should we look at the...
I heard you until how should we look at the... Thereafter, I've lost you.
How should we look at the debt situation? Because the overall debt has increased.
Overall debt stands at, term debt stands at 200 crores from 430 on a net basis, and this year we'll be adding up to 200 crores of debt.
Okay, sure, sir. Sure. And sir, what is the outlook given by the customers in the export side in US and especially in Europe?
Sorry?
What is the outlook given by customers in US and Europe, sir, for us?
Europe is a mixed bag. The PV segment there, passenger vehicle segment there is quite down. Truck segment is doing well, at least chugging along. And there again, what has happened is that we've had some wallet share increases in the European market. So all that will come into play in the next few months. So Europe is a mixed bag.
Got it, sir. And sir, what would
but
be the gross
margin? Not so grim as it sounds. I do not know if, you know, there is going to be a shock that comes up later, or whether this is going to continue on in the ensuing months and weeks ahead. But I would presume it is more to do with the latter.
Okay. Okay, sir. And sir, final question, what would be this gross margin differential between domestic and exports?
I'm not at liberty to give the outright figure, but I can say that in general, exports is a little bit more profitable than domestic.
Okay, sure, sir. Thank you for answering the question.
But also involves considerable amount of work, planning, execution, etc. So, some pain, some gain. Or lots of pain, some gain.
Got it. Thank you for answering the question. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhaval Shah from Girik Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Sir, first question, you mentioned the previous participant regarding wallet share gain in Europe. So that would be from the existing European companies, or which geography have you gained the wallet share from?
Can you please repeat? Not able to. I think today is not very great.
Yeah, all right. I'll repeat the question. You mentioned about wallet share gain in Europe. So this gain would be from which other vendors to your customer? Were they European vendors or from some other geography?
From European vendors. From European customer.
Okay. So the customers are purchasing from other European companies, and now they are buying from MM Forging.
Correct.
Okay, and this would be a basis the cost. Has those competition vacated the space, or you won the business basis the cost escalation which happened in Europe, and we did not see that.
So what has happened is freight kind of threw a spanner in the works 2 years back. When freight rates went up, we became a little bit uncompetitive compared to local sources.
Okay.
So now that freight rates are back to down to where they were a few years back, so that has resulted in better wallet share.
Okay, interesting. Great, sir. So this is very sticky in nature.
Plus also, the impact of energy being available, not available, steel available, not available, all those things are also playing a trend, an underlying current in these changes.
Okay. So unless we see a large cost escalation for us, this business is going to be very sticky in nature.
I didn't get the last one. This business is going to be very...
The business which we have won, which we have got back from the customer, should be very sticky in nature.
Quite sticky in nature. Yes. We are very expected. Very, you know, we are expecting that quite a bit, and not expecting that. That's almost, you know, put into the contract itself. So there's no question of just a mere expectation. The only case over there is that macroeconomic conditions should reasonably continue.
Yes, definitely.
So subject to that, we should
Got it. So my second question is regarding the interest cost. So I mean, if you just divide the interest cost in P&L with the debt, it's coming to roughly 5%. So can you help us understand what is the how is this, why is it only 5%?
Rajik.
Hello.
I just, you know, off the cuff, on a humorous note, just said magic. The reason is very clear. For about 300 crores out of 450 crores of 350 crores or 450 crores of debt, term debt, and in terms of gross debt, is all denominated in foreign currency. And not now. All these loans were taken a few years back. Some of those were taken in INR as well. Now, what we did was, with the INR loan, we synthetically swapped them into foreign currency loan, into foreign currency. And we also did an interest rate swap from a floating INR to fixed foreign currency.
Okay, understood. Okay.
Okay, so what happened during the last 18 months of interest rate hikes is that we have been largely inured, not largely, totally inured to those interest rate hikes on those loan components.
Okay.
So that has helped us keep our costs down.
So if I understood correctly, you mentioned from floating rate INR to fixed rate INR.
So to fixed rate Forex.
Forex, okay.
Yeah. And also certain Forex loans were converted from floating to fixed. We paid a small premium for that years back.
Okay.
Ten basis points, 20 basis points, but that proved to be a huge. Basically, we de-risked ourselves. We didn't want to. At those rates, interest at those times, interest rates were quite low.
Yes.
We didn't. We realized that. Of course, nobody imagined this kind of a situation, but we felt that we should capitalize and lock onto those rates.
Got it. It benefited massively.
Yeah.
And sir, how do we report the Forex gain loss on our P&L?
We mark to market our loans versus the receivables. And then if there's anything, we report it. But so far, our auditors haven't flagged anything.
Okay. So all the receivables are marked to, M2M is marked to is registered in the receivables.
Can you repeat it, please?
I'm saying your receivables, whatever forex gain loss happens there, you adjust it in the receivables.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one second. Let me have a side conversation with my CFO for a minute.
Sure.
Yep. I'll get back to you on that. If you can, mail your ID to our or give your mobile number.
Uh-huh.
I'll have my CFO check with the auditors and get back to you very clearly on what we are doing over there. Okay.
Yes, sir. I will connect with the CFO. No problem, sir. And sir, just coming back on the debt on the books. So, what is the current gross debt break divided between working capital and long term?
450 crores working capital gross debt on term loans, 430 crores on term loans, and 330 crores odd on the working capital side.
Okay, and out of this 450 term loan, 300 is in foreign currency?
No, everything is in forex. On this 430, 300 is in foreign currency. You're right.
Okay. So, ho gaya 750. This is 750.
On the working capital side also, some portion will be in forex, some portion will be in rupee.
and there we get subvention.
Okay. And now this on this 450 crore foreign currency, 450 crore term loan, we are going to see an increase of 200 crores for FY24.
Correct.
Okay. Great, sir. Thank you. And I'll speak to your CFO then.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Vignesh Iyer from Sequent Investments. Please go ahead.
Sir, yeah, my question is on the side of EBITDA per ton. So we have been always guiding for around 33,000, 35,000. We have done around 35,000 or so for FY23, if my internal calculation is correct. Sir, can we, we are seeing a shift from export business to more of a domestic business. Can we, so what would be your guidance for FY24 for EBITDA per metric ton?
It would broadly be at this level.
What you have achieved in FY23, right?
Correct.
Fair enough. And sir, if you could, sir, brief us something more on your EV side of the research, what your internal R&D team is working on the EV side, if you could just give us an idea.
Broadly, I'll have to rephrase almost or restate whatever I said earlier. So, were you there in the previous portion of the call?
No, I missed some part of it, that's why.
Okay.
If you would just give us a small brief on search for do.
No issues. EV is a new area, so some perspective to everybody would also be useful. Basically, the EV powertrain is divided into three parts. The controller, which supplies, takes DC from the battery, DC energy from the electric energy from the battery, and converts it into current for the motor, AC current for the motor. The motor itself is a permanent magnet synchronous machine, which means that it runs is an AC motor, and it runs with permanent magnets. The third portion of the e-axle or the powertrain is a gearbox. So the controller takes DC power, converts into AC. Controller is also known by the name inverter. Now,
okay. The
inverter and the controller together perform both the inversion, which is DC to AC, as well as they do the controller stroke inverter does the function of controlling the motor in terms of supplying it what current at what RPM. So all that is this. So there's a control function and there's an inversion function. So which is why it is the names are interchangeably used. The motor itself, as you know, takes AC current and converts it into rotary motion, followed by the third component, which is a gearbox, which takes the RPM of the motor at a higher level and brings it down to vehicle RPM at a lower level. From there on, the shaft takes the rotary motion to the wheels. So this EV power, three-stage thing is called an EV powertrain. Here, we are focused initially on the electric motor, the PMSM motor, PMSM device. And Abhinava Rajal has developed over 5-7 years of lot of work, hard work, very efficient topologies for the motor, so which we are discussing with customers one by one, and we are engaging with them and launching products with customers. Our engagement with customers is at various levels currently. With some, we are just at discussions. Some are at proto stage. Some are at sample stage.
Well enough. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Ajay Surya from Nivshay. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah.
Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah, so we made some acquisition in the past for increasing our crankshaft field. So I wanted to know what are the developments on that and how much is crankshaft contributing to our revenue, and how do we see the overall demand of crankshaft in export and domestic market?
those acquisitions have panned out well, Ajay. DVS has turned a bit around the corner in the last year and reported plus positive numbers on EBITDA as well as net profit. The other sub is Kafoma, which is subsidiary is Kafoma, which also has been doing pretty, has done pretty well to start with. It was a very efficiently run organization to start with. So what we've gone there is largely done backward integration and a little bit of modernization. We are also adding to Kafoma's growth by increasing the product portfolio by way of investing in newer lines. So all told, both the subs are doing reasonably well. They're producing cranks mainly, almost only crankshafts. As far as the overall numbers are concerned, I would like to say that we have targeted 7% for the non-auto sector, largely based on the crankshaft business. So this year we have crossed 8.5 for the non-auto segment, and that is largely based on crankshaft sales.
Can I get any number on how much contribution do we have from crankshaft in our overall revenue?
Normally, we do not provide those detailed analysis. Our customers also don't recommend it.
Got it. And sir, we also mentioned that we are working towards some developments on crankshaft. So that would be more towards large size crankshaft, like class 7 or class 8 trucks kind.
Actually, we are working on a whole range of crankshafts, from very small to decently large.
Okay.
From single cylinder to six cylinder.
Okay, got
it. So we are increasing our presence in that segment very clearly, for sure.
So large size crankshaft would give us better realization and better margin, if my understanding is right?
Yes, but also requires more capital.
Okay, got it.
So, horses for horses.
Okay. So, my next question is regarding our CAPEX. So, we are also expanding our machining lines. So, can I get a brief idea on how much is our current machining lines and their capacity, and how much will it expand after the CAPEX?
It's a huge variety in terms of what we are machining. So to give you a number in terms of numbers would be, what shall I say, not a fair representation, because you can't add a component of 110 kilograms with a component of, let us say, 1 or 2 kilograms, where the value addition is next to nothing.
Okay.
So, overall, if you say, the percentage of machined components in our portfolio of sales has significantly gone up, and right now is just under 60% of overall sales.
And how much do we expect this number to go up going forward?
To go to between 60 and 65%. And this we have been consistently holding over the last few quarters. So I would expect this ratio to be around 65%, if not higher.
And so just my last...
One sec. While on this subject, I think I should also point out, now while we are getting lost with the numbers, there is also a significant trend over here that I feel I should point out to this team. Basically, MM Forgings has moved from being a forging supplier to being a component supplier. In the last 5 to 7 years, there has been a significant transition. We are no longer a forge shop with an attached machine shop. We are well and truly a component supplier. Yes. That some of our customers choose to buy only forgings from us for some of their requirements is incidental. But we can definitely supply customers components. And we are also looking at getting into assemblies.
Got it.
So we are making a transition from just being a rough forger to being a forger with a machine shop, and now we can say very clearly that we are a component supplier.
And so my last question.
And our engagement with OEs is pretty deep. That also will bear good dividends for the company as we go on.
Got it, sir. Got it. So my last question would be on the how is the competition around the machining part in the industry like? Because several players are adding the machining line, so would that not fare into newer competition and reducing a margin or any kind of like that?
Like it or not, competition is here to stay, and competition is always will always be there. So having said that, the number of players with ability to invest in machining is different, but the number of players with the ability to invest in forgings and machining is an even more narrower space. And within that space, the number of players who are able to handle larger forgings and the complicated machining lines that come for those forgings is even rarer.
Got it, sir. Got it. Thank you very much, sir. All the very best.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Priya Ranjan from HDFC AMC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. So just two things. I mean, I think we have aspiration of going to, say, 2,000 crore top line, say, next couple of years. So, I mean, when given the macro environment and the your order book in hand, a confirmed order book in hand, so when do you expect this to be achieved, and what kind of margin we are looking at on the newer products which you are developing right now? Or, I mean, not only developing, at least on the which is going on productionization this year and which has gone in the last year as well.
Yeah, we are expecting something in the region of 1,800 to 2,000 crores for this year, given a broadly decent macroeconomic environment. And we expect over the next a year or two thereafter to cross about 2,500 crores.
Okay, and in terms of the overall margin mix, because we are also increasing the machining, but the new orders you have also got, so at some point of time these orders will have a decent size. As of now, probably those of new product or new segment might be at a lower margin business because the scale might not be there. So how should the evolution of margin take place over the next couple of years?
Our expectation there and guidance there has been consistent that we expect margins to be held at a bare minimum. Beyond that, there will be an interplay between volume, margin, and inflationary pressures.
And with the new capacity, do you think your manpower cost, etc., will keep going up? Or it will take some time?
At a totally different level, time is up, but not to do with MFO's economics as such. But manpower costs in India as a whole will go up and should go up. So companies that are capable of handling the huge increases that we are going to see on manpower costs will survive. Companies that are not going to be able to handle the steep increase in manpower costs will fall by the wayside. This is my expectation on manpower and economics in a couple of lines. And that's the way it should be also. If our country is to increase the standard of living for its lowest down at the bottom of the pyramid, this is the way it must happen. And that is the way governments are also pushing. Every year they are increasing minimum wages. Silently, steadily.
What we have seen in case of many manufacturing companies is that they are moving more towards mechanization or, I mean, the automation.
Yeah, yeah, that is what it is. How do you manage to reduce manpower costs? The only way you can hold is by automation. Only way.
So, where are we placed in terms of, if you look at, say,
we are very positively placed over there. Just to give you a snippet, when we put up our 8,000 ton press, we added some seven to ten robots, and all that was done outside at a huge cost. For our 7,000 ton press, we brought in the robots and did the automation ourselves. Now we are looking even more aggressive. In the next couple of presses, we have added, we put in robots that are second-hand robots, refurbished and made good. So that brings down the cost even further, plus, of course, all the work done internally. So this, the situation is also changing, where we used to spend 30 lakhs for a robot and its accessories, plus accessories. Today is probably 12 lakhs plus accessories, or sometimes even lesser. So if you take a 12 lakh base and it replaces one guy across three shifts, you get payback in the region of around 18 to 24 months, even at current salary. So mechanization will come in a large way. And that is a transition that Indian industry must be willing to take. Otherwise, companies will simply be blown out.
Okay.
Or blown away.
Great to hear that. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you.
Good. Jairaj, we are at the end of the call. One last question.
Sure, sir. We'll take the last question. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraint, we'll be taking the last question. That is on the line of Mr. Shashank Kanodia from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Sir, you mentioned that your share of machining will go up next year. And in the media interview today morning, you mentioned about 19% EBITDA margins for FY24. So why would the EBITDA pattern not move up for us next year?
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for patiently holding. We now have the line for the management reconnected. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, everybody, for your valuable time and being with us and your very insistent questions. But also, every time opens our eyes to newer aspects of the business. Though we are here sitting and looking at it 24/7, still a few questions from the outside does give us new ways to look at our business, and many of those have been helpful in guiding our board and everything in terms of investment strategy, etc. So we hope this engagement will continue in the months and years to come, and looking forward to greeting you in a year's time with the numbers that we have been discussing during this meeting. Thank you, one and all.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Batliwala and Karani Securities, that concludes this conference call. We thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.